Well, this passage before us here in Luke's Gospel 15 contains the three parables that has been labelled by some as God's lost and found. Each one of these parables deal with lost things that have been found by their owner. The opening verses of this chapter tell us what motivated the Saviour to teach these parables. The enemies of Christ were criticising him. Why? Because he was receiving sinners. They were astounded that someone like the Lord Jesus Christ would condescend to spend time and to reach out to publicans and sinners. In response, the Lord Jesus tells them these three stories, each parable proclaiming the same truth, that every soul is precious to God, even yours tonight. This parable is often addressed to backsliders, and there's plenty of application within it to do so. However, the actual interpretation of this passage deals with lost things, as I said already, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And the Lord is speaking about the salvation of lost souls. He's trying to impress upon all those who read this passage that every soul is precious to God. And with these thoughts in mind tonight, I want to turn your attention to the message contained within this parable before us. It may be that there are some here tonight and you've never been saved. Well, we trust the Lord will speak to you. We trust the Lord will show to you tonight how precious you are to him. I trust the Lord will impress this wonderful truth upon your heart. Perhaps tonight if you're backsliding, that it's never too late to come home. Never too late to return to him. Let's consider together tonight for a time the record of a squandered life. A squandered life. Here in verse 11 through to 12 we see an astonishing request. The request here is made of a young son for his share of the inheritance. Now according to Deuteronomy 21 and 17, he was entitled to one third of his father's estate. It was a legal request that he made. A man could divide his estate while he lived if he so desired to do so. But nonetheless, this was considered a cruel, cruel act. It was a shocking request when this young boy came and he asked his father to divide his estate. You know, in effect, what he was saying to his father was, I wish you were dead. I want nothing more to do with you. I don't want you in my life anymore. I'm tired of you. I want to be free from you. And your control over my life. I expect a few of us here tonight would ever say such thing to our parents. But this is what we find here of this young man in the passage before us. A lost man, a lost woman, a lost young person lives their life as if God is dead. As if God doesn't exist. This was a selfish request. Notice with me that this boy said to his father, give me. Give me. His focus was upon me. It was all about him. All about me. He was wrapped up within himself, what he wants, what he cared for, what he desired. He wasn't caring about his father. What he wanted. What he had provided. He cared not. In spite of his son's insensitive request, we see the father is so gracious. Oh, he could have refused. He could have cast his son out. But yet he doesn't. The Bible says there, what did he do? And he divided unto them his living. His father gave his son the sum and substance of his life, his work. And the younger son wanted what the father could give him, but he didn't want the father. And surely this is the attitude, this picture is that of a lost sinner tonight. Oh, they want all the blessings of what the Lord can give. Maybe you're here tonight. You're not saved. Oh, you want the blessings of a good job. You're thankful for a comfortable home. You're thankful for all the wonderful things the Lord has provided you with, even good health to be here. But you don't want Christ. Or nothing to do with him. So it was of this young man. No thought for God. His attitude was, give me. Oh yes, and you're tonight, you're saying the same thing. Oh yes, Lord, I'll take that promotion. Yes, Lord, I'll take that pay rise. Yes, Lord, I'll take whatever you're giving me. No, I don't want salvation. I'll do it my way. I'll get to heaven my own way. To want Christ. When God made man, he literally breathed life into his nostrils. And every day that men live upon this earth, they consume the wonderful resources given to them, created by God. But yet sadly, they do not acknowledge or want him in their lives. Even over this past month, we have seen what? Pride. Pride. The pride of man. Oh, thankful for health and strength, for good weather. But no acknowledgement of God. Pride of man. When the Bible, when we want his blessing, but we don't want him. That's the sinner. That's a picture of the sinner. And the Bible refers to such men and women as fools. Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or no God for me. And if you want to live your life as if there is no God, men and women tonight and young people, the Lord will allow you to do just that. However, you need to know that before you leave this house tonight, if that's how you want to live, if that is how you leave this scene of time, you'll spend all eternity in hell. Is that what you want? As the sum and substance of your life? Remember Proverbs 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but what? The end thereof, the ways of death. Oh, as we think of this record of a squandered life, we think of the astonishing request, but see also the awful reality. Verses 13 through to 16, the son gets what he wants. Oh, he gets what he wants. He gets his desires. Oh, you know, some people desire some wonderful things for themselves. And you know, you need to be careful the Lord doesn't give you the desires of your heart. Because the desires that you want are not the desires that you need. This young man realizes that all that glitters is not gold. He realized the reality of sin's pleasures, that his father's gracious provision, he squandered it by living a wicked, self-indulgent life. And those words there, riotous living, look upon them, refer to a life totally given over to sinfulness and wickedness. You know, it wasn't just as someone would say, just a wee small sin. No, he was just given over to sin completely. He turned his back completely on his upbringing, the wonderful opportunities that he had had in the home, turned his back upon the Father. Maybe you're here tonight. You feel as if you've been dragged along. You felt as though you just should come. No interest in here. Can't wait till the meeting's over. You just want to be out there in the world. This is what this young man desired. Got the desires of his heart out, he went. No moral compass, it was all gone. He lived his life to satisfy the desire of the flesh. Oh, did he have a good time? Of course he had. He had a great time while it all lasted, while the fun went on, while the friends was around him. Oh, he was a great fella. Oh, they looked up. Oh, he's great. I wonder, is he going out tonight? We'll go. Where'll he be? I'll tell you, I'll not be so foolish to say that there's not pleasure in sin, but you've been often reminded there of the words of Hebrews 11:25. It is but for a season. It only lasts for a time. may be found, pleasure may be found in the things of the world, but yet it is just for that short time. But eternity without God, men and women and young people tonight, remember this, it's eternal. It's forever. Oh, the pleasure's a short time, or eternity in heaven. Which would you rather have tonight? Eternity without God in hell. Is it really worth that short time of the pleasure in sin? Well, you see, sin has the price. There's a price tag on sin. And eventually this young man's money ran out. And along with the money, yes, the friends ran out. They disappeared as well. They're away in a far country, away from home. Oh, there was the wine, there was the women, there was the song. But soon the land became a land of weeping, worry and sorrow. Such a change. Like that. And you know, sometimes we live our lives in sin. We think we're getting away with it. Maybe you think you're getting away with it. How soon, how quick the change can happen. It happened for this young man. He found out too late that the sin carries with it a high price tag. It brings separation. This boy finds himself broken, alone, away, miles away from the father who loved him, who had done nothing for him but love him. And by his own actions, he finds himself separated from the father because of the guilt of his sin, of his pride, his arrogance, his ignorance. And so it is with every soul that is lost in sin. We're separated from God. It brings sorrow. We see those words there in our text. He began to be in want. When the music stopped, oh, the friends left. The money was all done. The resources were gone. He found that sin had robbed him of everything, of the value that had left him hopeless, helpless. And where was he? To crown it off, he was in the far country. He was away from home, away from the support of family and friends. It was too late. He didn't realise. Whenever he had been out drinking and socialising and living for the world, how soon the sorrow would come. Oh, the devil promises the world. Promises you everything. Everything you can think of. Did he not promise Eve way back there in Genesis? You shall be as gods. That's what he told Eve. And he's no different today. Promises everything. Promises the world. As he did to this man. The devil promises the world and delivers hopelessness, desolation and death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin. His happiness knows death. Death. It often is said that it pays to live for God. And you know it does. Since I have come into preparation for the Lord's service, there's nowhere else in the world I'd rather be. And it's a true joy and a privilege to be here tonight to share the gospel, to be in with you this morning, to come and to preach in my weakness. It's a privilege. It pays to serve the Lord. And perhaps you're a Christian here tonight. I encourage you when things open up again. Perhaps you've never done anything before. You've maybe never helped out in the children's work. Go and sit amongst the children. Go and drive a bus. Go and do what you can. Do something for the Lord. Because it pays to serve the Lord. There's blessing there. Be found in the prayer meeting and be encouraged. It pays to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. But you know, friends, tonight, it pays also to live for the devil. Broken lives. Ruined marriages. Shattered dreams. Hopelessness. Defeat. Death are all part of the pay packet of sin. I think of my own father's testimony. How he often testifies only for the grace of God. He would have had no marriage. He worked all week and then he went to collect the money from his labours and Instead of coming home to the family with the money, he went to the high stool and drank it in the pub. But God intervened in his grace and his mercy. Sin costs. It pays to live for the devil. And you know, men and women and young people tonight, the Lord forgives sin. And the Lord is gracious and merciful. But we can make mistakes in our sinful ways that we will take with us to the grave, that we'll never be able to make amends for. Someone has rightly said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. But sin always pays. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But their sin's paying. Because of his foolish decisions, this young man, he found himself in a mess. He learned that sin brings shame. You think of this young man. Little Jewish man. A Jewish young fella. There he was, feeding pigs. There in the pig pen. Feeding animals deemed to be ceremonially unclean back there in Leviticus 11 and verse 7. He was literally in the gutter of sin, and he should never have been there. He must have been filled with the shame. And you know, tonight, the Lord has you here in his mercy. As he's speaking to your heart, even through his word tonight, maybe you long to get out into the world to do your own thing. I caution you against it. Look at this young man. Look at this young man. He allowed sin to have his way, its way in his life. And then there came sin. There came shame. The shame of a wasted life. The shame of the wasted youth. The shame of squandered opportunities, but worst of all, the shame of a squandered eternity. That's what's before someone that turns their back on God. There will come a day when you will be ashamed in his presence. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Sin brings suffering. Here he is, picture the scene tonight. Far away from home, you know. Those of us, there's no place like home. You know, we travel all over the world perhaps, and you're here, there and yonder. But there's no place like home. Nothing like sitting down in your own chair, getting a cup of tea at the table, having your own wee routine. There's no place like home. The comforts of home. Here he is, turned his back on it all. Found here, suffering. No home, no help, no hope. No one cared for him at all. Brought it upon himself. Starving, he would have quite happily taken the pig's food if he could have. But he was suffering. Why, he was the father that cast him out? No, no. He made his own choices. He brought it upon himself. He had all that he needed. He turned his back on the Father. And men and women and young people tonight, let me remind you that the Lord never turns his back on anyone until they turn their back upon him. He had walked away from the Father. Found himself here in suffering. And sin brings sorrow, it brings suffering. Proverbs 13 and 15 were reminded about the way of the transgressor. It's hard. It's hard. It's a hard way. It's a hard path. And many suffer in this life because of sin. But there will be this greater suffering in hell for all eternity. And that's why we're here tonight. To warn you of the wrath that is to come. If you are to die in your sin, don't let it happen to you tonight. It's time to seek the Lord. Don't even wait till this meeting's over. Call upon him now. Call upon him. Be saved tonight. It brings sorrow. No one around him cared about him. He lives or dies. They couldn't care less. There he is. He's lonely. He's hungry. He's broken. He's all alone. And sad. Such a sad shape for him to be in. A young man. But yet we see, this was the first step to getting home. This was the first step to his return. Nothing is any sadder than to see a life that has been broken by sin. It doesn't have to happen. And no one ever wandered off into sin and came back glad that they did. I'm sure there are those here tonight can testify. Mistakes that were made. Turned away from God. So thankful that they were welcomed home. But they have no joy, have no pleasure of those mistakes that they made. We see an astonishing request, an awful reality, but see with me an altered return. Or the prodigal son, he didn't come home the same way that he left. Rather, he was a changed man, and by his time that he had spent in the far country. And we see verse 17, the starting point, his realization when he came to himself. When he came to himself. That was the starting point. This boy's entire time in the far country had been a time of recklessness. He hadn't been thinking clearly. And now, as it were, the fog lifts. He remembers the good that he had had at home there with the father. He remembers even the father's servants. How well they were looked after. How well they were cared for. What a realization. And you know, as sinners, we're blind in our sin. We're blind to our condition. Our ultimate destination. And our first step of getting away from sin, turning to Christ, is realizing for all have sinned. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. This son was beginning to understand just that. And he makes up his mind to go home. He's tired there of the far country. He's had enough. He longs for fellowship with the Father. He wants to go where he can be loved. He wants to go where he can be fed. He can be cared for. He wants to go home. Is it not time tonight you came home? Is it not time you came home? He makes up his mind to go home. He understands what he has done. He sees his own utter unworthiness. He's willing to go home under any circumstances. And you know, if you're ever going to be saved, that's where you have to start. Rid of all pride. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest, the Saviour says. Oh, you needn't come to the Lord thinking, yeah, oh, there's still some bit of good. No. No, no, he came back. Oh, Lord, just take me as I am. Will you cry unto the Lord tonight? Oh, Father, I have sinned. I'm not worthy of thee. But you cry unto him for mercy, he will receive you. We think back to the earlier in the chapter and this young man, the change in his language. He left home and he was saying, give me. But yet here we see in his return, he says, make me. Oh, make me. Make me what you will. Before he didn't want to be under the Father's authority, but now he is willing to be a slave or do whatever it takes just to get home again. This boy is willing to confess and repent of his sins and return to the Father. And you know, repentance humbles a person. And there must be humiliation before there'll ever be exaltation. That is where every sinner must come if they're ever going to be saved. Oh, this son's return, he gets up, he heads home. He doesn't know what will happen when he gets there. He may be rejected, he may be humiliated, he may even be put to death. He doesn't know what is before him. But at this point, he doesn't care. He just wants to go home to the Father. He longs to go home. Are you under conviction tonight of your sin? Is the Spirit of God working in your life? Is he revealing your need of salvation to you even tonight? Is it not time you were saved? Oh, you're tonight, you're found backslidden, you're cold at heart. You know what it is, all these pleasures of having the pleasure of being with the Savior in fellowship with him. Yet tonight you're cold at heart. Oh, that old bitterness. That old cup that's made for someone else, you end up drinking it yourself. It has crept in. The hard heart. You've lost out with Christ. Is it not time you came home? You remember feeling God's conviction upon your life. Oh yes, you're genuinely saved. But you're found far from Him tonight. It's time you're home. Don't let the fact that you're raised in a church and are a good person cause you to doubt your salvation. If the Lord has showed you your condition and pointed to you to the Saviour, you've received Him by faith. And then you've done all that requires you to be saved. However that coldness remains within your heart, it's time you left the far country and returned home. Consider this astonishing request, the awful reality, altered return. See also with me an awesome reunion. An awesome reunion. He found a wonderful reception. Oh, this young man he had at home, he didn't know what he might find, but yet what he found was incredible. He found there a father who had been longing and looking and living for his son's return. He found a father full of love and care and compassion and grace toward him. He received him. He loved him back into fellowship with him. The father wouldn't even allow the son to finish speaking if you look there at the text. He just received him back into a right relationship. He ran. And it was considered undignified for a man to run in that culture. But yet why did the father run to the son? God runs to the sinner tonight, extending His grace, His mercy toward you. We receive and we are given that right standing with God. The Father kissed Him, and that verb kiss is in the present tense. It wasn't just a kiss on the cheek. It was a kiss, kiss, kiss. It was an embrace of love and of affection and emotion. He was so delighted and so excited to see His Son return. In spite of the smell. Did you ever think about it? The filth. I suppose it's poignant to me coming from a farming background, knowing people in the pig business is stinking. This young fella comes home. There's not a mention of it. Not a mention. He receives him home just as he is. And you know, friends, tonight, don't you think for a moment you're sitting here, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I'm just going to tidy myself up. I'm going to tidy things up in my life. I'm going to straighten things out, and then I get saved. You'll never get saved. Come as you are. That's how you'll get saved. And come now. This young man, he came as he was. Filthy, stinking, just in the farm from the pig pen. Not a mention of it. His father ran. He kissed him. Stinking all. He received him. Son returned home. He had everything that he threw away restored to him by the Father. The robe speaks there of his purity. He stands the son. There stands the son in the rags of his sin. He doesn't even look like a child of the Father. But the Father orders the best robes to be put upon him. Put on the son. His robe would cover all the stains of dirt of the pig pen. The robe would make him look like the Father. Anyone who saw him would have considered him in the Father's robe. They would have mistaken him for the Father. This robe erased all the visible signs of the boy's sinful past. And so it is with we as believers. Oh, we don't deserve it. But we receive the robes of Christ's righteousness. Yes, you and me, filthy sinners. Yet He restores unto us that, the robes of righteousness. This robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to all who receive Him by faith. We think of the ring which speaks of the privileges. After the robe became the ring, and the ring was a symbol of sonship, of authority. The one with the ring could speak for the Father. The one with the ring had access to all that belonged to the Father. When sinners repent of their sins and come home, they are given the privileges of being recognized, adopted into the family and fold of God. Oh, what a privilege. Tonight you're saved. Do you realize how privileged you are? Adopted into the family and fold of God, entitled to all the benefits that flow to us that's in Christ Jesus. because of his work for us on Calvary. We think of his shoes, speaks there of the position. The Father called for shoes to be brought for the feet of his Son. There he was barefooted. Only slaves went barefooted, but sons wore shoes. He returned home, desiring just to be a mere servant. But the Father was determined to recognize his position as a son. In the boy's eyes, he didn't deserve anything from the Father, and yet the Father looked upon him. And he says, "This is my son." He looked upon him. He recognized him. "This is my son." And the Lord, when he looks upon you and me tonight, as redeemed people, "This is my son. This is my daughter. Bought with a price. Precious blood of Christ." What a joy it is to be saved. Do you know tonight what it is to be saved? Do you have that peace within your heart? When you are truly saved, you've been accepted by the Father. He calls you his child. There's great rejoicing. We saw here finally the fatted calf was kept for special occasions. The Father's way of sharing his joy all around with those around. And instead of a squandered life, the Father was celebrating a life that had been redeemed. A life that had been restored. Everything that was missing in the pig pen was given again to him when he returned home. So it is with the sinner. When he returns home to the Father, there'll be rejoicing in heaven. There'll be rejoicing tonight in the house of God. Be rejoicing in the heart of the sinner that has been redeemed. Tell me tonight, when the record of your life is written, what will it say about you? What will it be? A young man, a young woman, nurtured in the things of the gospel, turned their back on the Lord. They went to Ards Free Presbyterian Church. The family went there. They never were saved. Will it read a record of a squandered life? Or will it be a record of a person who came to Christ for salvation? Tell me, where are you today? Look within yourself. Where are you? Where are you found today? Are you lost in the far country? If you are, I urge you, I plead with you. You need to come home. There's no better time than to do it than right now. Right now. The Heavenly Father is waiting to receive you, to cleanse you from all sin, to put the ring upon your finger, the shoes upon your feet, clothe you in his robe of righteousness. If you're not saved, you need to come to him. Come to him just as you are. If you are saved tonight, tell me, how long has it been? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord? Thank the Father for his gracious provision that he has given you in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're found saved today, but you're far from home. Coldness has crept in. Surely it's time for you too to come home. If I can be of any help to you tonight, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. Speak with me. I can't save you, but I'm more than happy to take God's word and to sit down with you and point you to Christ. But whatever your situation is found, whatever situation rather you're found in tonight, I urge you, I plead with you, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without getting the matter settled before God. Don't trifle with these things. A friend of mine, much senior than I, he said to me, "Simon, you know, this is a lot different than what you've been used to." He says, "This work that you're involved in now," he says, "it's no longer temporal. It's eternal." And men and women tonight and young people, this is a matter of eternity. It's a matter of your eternity. The question for you tonight is, where will you spend eternity?